It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
It's the most exciting sport on earth as far as I'm concerned.
Take a walk through the Nitro pits as we go one-on-one with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
This is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
Featuring the NHRA's Alan Reinhardt.
Our events are truly an experience. They're not just a spectator event. They are an experience.
So get in, sit down, and hold on with host Joe Costello as he goes WFO.
Thanks, brother. Always love being on WFO, baby. Nobody brings it to you better than you, brother.
Now crank it up. It's time to go WFO. Here's your host, Joe Costello.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro Podcast. I'm Joe Costello, and we are checking in with the champs, baby. We got the champs right through the winter break. We're going to connect. On this show, you're going to hear the Mellow Yellow Funny Car World Champion, Robert Height. Three championships, John Force Racing, did the long burnout, all that stuff. We're going to hear from Robert in his championship interview. And I know a lot of people are like, man, Robert won a lot of races and he won the title. We're going to hear a full debrief on Robert, what he's doing during the winter break, all that. So you John Force Racing fans, you're definitely going to want to listen and click subscribe to the show. But I want to remind you, we are going to have other champions right throughout the winter break. We do not take a break here on WFO Radio. Maybe we scale back. Like this week, we've got two champions in the feed. We have got Robert Height, the Mellow Yellow Funny Car World Champ, and we've got Allison Dahl, the Lucas Oil Stock Eliminator World Champ, which will be released a little bit later. Two opposite ends of the spectrum. The 330-mile-per-hour funny cars, the 9-inch-wide tire stock eliminator cars, which in many ways are the favorite of a lot of people out there because they are the real cars as they were intended, just unbelievably quick and fast. And Allie won a world championship as well. But Robert, just seconds away, want to tell you real quick, I know everybody's shopping. Everyone is getting ready for the Christmas and holiday season. We have got some great sponsors that can fit right in to that, like RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. Marvin Rodak's got a great little website. Why don't you hit it up? RODAKS, coffeeandgrills.com. Rodax, he's a drag racer. He's got drag racing themed coffee blends. He's got exotic coffee from around the world, Ethiopia, Zambia, all kinds of the Haitian Blue Mountain Organic, all of these coffees available. So if you've got a person in your life who is a coffeephile, who loves exotic coffees or amazing coffee blends, you're going to want to get a little Rodax. And Rodax does the holiday packs with our own WFO Radio signature blend. You get a pound of coffee, you get a bottle of hot sauce, and a container of spice rub. Everything good. Give Marvin a call. Work it out. Bottom line is, the person that you love, when they get the Rodax coffee for Christmas, they are going to be stoked. 817-924-6821. That's RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Another great gift that is a WFO Radio sponsor, and this is the one that I think would blow people's minds, is the Dragster Adventure from Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. It's a day of thrilling experience. You get to drive a dragster 130 miles per hour in the quarter mile, 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. Give them a call, 866-480-7223. Now, they travel all around the country, so you might be thinking, well, my friend is not going to travel to Gainesville, Florida for Frank Hawley, or maybe they will. But the course goes all around the country. Tucson Dragway, Fontana, California, Baytown, Texas, Joliet, Illinois, Norwalk, Ohio, Reading, Pennsylvania, Denver, Colorado, Woodburn, Oregon, are all on the schedule already for the 2020 season. So you get your friend the certificate, they work it out with Frank, and they have got a life experience because of you that they're going to love forever and ever. The driving a dragster adventure experience is amazing. Go to frankhawley.com to find out more. 866-480-7223, and be sure to tell them you heard about it on WFO Radio. Also, the folks at samtech.edu. Yes, it's the holidays, but it's never too soon to start thinking about your career, what you're going to do as a profession. And everybody is trying to decide that out there. Like, what am I going to do as a job for my profession? And I can't think of too many better ones out there than becoming a high-performance engine builder or going into the area of CNC machining, electronic fuel injection calibration. These are all courses that are available out there at samtech.edu. And they do a great job. Of course, the Factory Stock Showdown and Factory Stock podcast we did this year made us a lot more knowledgeable about the school and the graduates and how they've been placed in positions out there. Once you graduate, depends, maybe you want to be a racing engine builder, you'd turn out to be a machinist. They've got connections. Maybe you don't care about any of that. You want to go to work for Boeing. They've got connections, and that's what makes it great. They also have an Associate of Applied Science degree. They're military-friendly, and they have financial aid. So give them a call, 713-683-3817, samtech.edu. Also, the folks at Magic Dry, this is maybe not the best gift for the special lady in your life. Or maybe it is. It depends. Does she have a shop? Does she need to, dry up industrial spills? Well, guess what? The folks at Magic Dry have got a great product, and they do spill kits of all sizes. They've got all the nasty spills covered through the magic of coconut. It's 100% all natural. It's 100% organic and absorbs 560% of its weight in liquid. It naturally controls odors. I always say, if you've got a cat, get Cat Spot. If you've got a shop, if you've got a factory, if you've got a business, get Magic Dry. You can go to the web and learn more, magicdryus.com. And we appreciate them supporting the sport of NHRA drag racing, Scott Palmer in particular, on the side of his Top Fuel dragster, and of course, WFO Radio. And if you order it up, tell them you heard about it on WFO Radio. And finally, Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology. We are doing a series of podcasts for the folks at Total Seal that are so interesting. The first one with Jason Line, the second one with Pat Musi. The significance of piston rings, what they do inside the engine, all things going on inside the engine, all kinds of different interesting challenges. And we have the rock stars of engine building going to be a part of that podcast. Bottom line, you're an engine builder. You work with cars. The piston ring is vital. Cylinder heads, camshafts, intake manifolds. You can spend so much money on that stuff. If you do not have great ring seal, you're wasting your money. You're not getting the most out of those parts that you spend so much on. Total Seal is the leader. Go to TotalSeal.com. Check out their products from Stock Eliminator to Formula One. Total Seal does the piston rings, whether it be motocross, supercross, go-karts, anything that has a piston, Total Seal makes the rings, even custom stuff. Marvin Rodak was like, can he do it for a 53 Cadillac? And I think it was a 49. I don't know. But I said yes. The answer is yes. They custom make anything you want for your application. Check them out and be sure to tell them you heard it. You know where. TotalSeal.com on WFO Radio. Plus, our great friends John DeBartolomeo at Drag Racing Edge Magazine. A nice little subscription for the drag racing fan in your life would be great. And EV3 Drag Racing is a game on your mobile device. It is free. It is drag racing, and it's something that you should definitely be doing during the winter break. And thank you so much for letting me tell you about our great sponsors. And now it's time to get into it. Joining us now, he is your 2019 Mellow Yellow Funny Car World Champion. His third championship, Robert Height from John Force Racing, joins us now. Robert, welcome back. Congratulations.
Appreciate it, Joe. Thanks for having me.
You know, I was just...
Hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
I did. Did you?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
What'd you do?
Hung around home. Everybody asks, what are you going to do over the winter, and you're going to go on vacations? No, I travel all year long racing, and it's nice to spend some time at home.
You know, it's funny. I like these interviews. You know, we spoke a lot this year. You won a lot of races, and I try to mix it up. And I was thinking about that exact thing for you. Like, what is your mood? I can tell you that this was my second full pull, the 24 race schedule for the most part. And it's rough, man. It's brutal. And you've been doing it for many, many, many years. Like, when you get home, do you just veg out? Like, what are you doing? Are you doing home projects? Are you like getting into other people's business? Like, what are you doing now that you like the big part of your job responsibility, which is the travel and the racing, is off the plate for a little while?
Well, I would race. First off, I'd race every weekend. I love my job. I love being at the track with the fans and obviously driving the race car. And I always feel that the more I get to drive, the better I do. You know, when you get on a roll and you're racing two or three weekends or maybe even four in a row, I feel that's when I drive the best. But obviously, you know, it's a grind and everybody needs a break. So when I do get home, you know, it's this job is, you know, 24/7, 365 days a year, whatever it takes to make things happen. So I'm in the office pretty much every day working, trying to organize things for 2020, line up new sponsors, just you name it. This Thursday and Friday, I'll be filming for the Auto Club and AAA, the things that the fans see at the track at the AAA races, you know, the little skits I do with Joey Logano and things. So I'll be filming Thursday and Friday for that. So there isn't a lot of off time. But, you know, when you do get an off weekend, you know, if try to spend time with your family, try to do a little barbecuing. And sometimes I like to sneak out and, you know, shoot trap. That kind of, you know, takes my mind off of the job, and it's kind of a nice release. So, but that's about it. You know, before you know it, January will be here. St. Louis Auto Show, I always go there every year for AAA. And then not long after that, we're out testing, and it's Pomona time. And I'll be honest, I think we've had two or three Sundays off, and I'm all ready to go again.
I can dig it. I can understand. And what's interesting to me is that it's this, you know, I'm going to call it rock star life. It's a little different than rock star life, but you're on the road, you've got fans, you're doing something that's very intense, right? Like, you know, taking the stage with the Rolling Stones and putting on a show for people. All right, it's a little different, but really huge adrenaline rush for them, huge adrenaline rush for you. And then in November, it stops. The brakes are on. I can imagine that you would miss it a little bit, that there would be a letdown.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's a song that the Bellamy Brothers sing that is pretty fitting for what we do. And it's you know, called It's a Hard Way to Make an Easy Living. And talking about traveling all over the country and, you know, the women are tall and all this, it's really a fitting for our sport. But I'll be honest, I was ready for a break after Pomona. I mean, that was, the countdown is grueling. You know, if you have one bad race in the countdown, that could just end it for you, you know. And we had such a good season rolling that, you know, it came down to Pomona, the last day of the season. And, you know, anything can go wrong, anything. These cars, you know, one out of 20 runs will drop a cylinder, and most of the time the crew chief can't put their finger on it. And any of that kind of stuff happens to you, especially the opponents that I had on Sunday, you're done. Your season is over. And, you know, it's somebody else is going to get the championship. So I've never been faced with that kind of pressure, you know, driving to where it's, you know, win or go home, win or lose the championship. It came down to Matt Hagan and I, the semifinals. If I lose, he or Beckman are the champs. If I win, I'm the champ. And you always wonder, how are you going to perform in that one run? You've got to go up there and make one run and do everything perfect. The crew chiefs, everybody has to make everything perfect, get the job done, get the win light. That's a lot of pressure, man. So I was definitely, it was time to exhale a little bit.
Well, I loved that whole experience, and hearing you talk about it got me really excited and fired up again. Something that we encounter with our fans in NHRA drag racing is, you know, I want to say this in a nice and respectful ways, but they don't ever get over stuff, right? Like the countdown in general, like the idea that we have a countdown, the idea that we created a playoff system for reasons that are supposed to be positive and entertaining. You know, we still have just so many people that just, you know, for whatever reason, they got beef with the countdown. And I have been really strong in my opinion over the years that this is a good thing. It's a good idea. It comes from other sports. They did it for a reason. Look how popular they are and how they are thriving, et cetera. It's good for us. This year, for the first time You know, Steve Torrance has been on me, and Jack Beckman gave me a whole list of very deep thoughts. You know Jack, right? About why it's probably not the best, as good as a full season thing. And I actually, for the first time, Robert, I questioned, because I do question. I take people's opinions very seriously, and I think about what they tell me and evaluate my opinion. And I did. I thought about it. And then after this year's countdown, I am back to where I started. If you're going to deprive the NHRA fan base of that Auto Club Finals, you are not thinking in what the best interest of the sport is, because that was one of our single best races top to bottom, with all the craziness and chaos and what you just described. You would never have that feeling without the countdown, and unless it was like a remarkable one-off year. You know, we've seen like three of them in history where two racers come down to the final round of the final race for the championship.
Yeah, I mean, the days of John Force clinching a championship with a win in Indy are over. You know, you don't have that kind of dominance. The parity, the competition level of all the cars, you know, that are in the countdown, the top 10, any one of those cars can win a race on any given weekend. They're that good of cars. So, you know, I don't know. I think the system could be tweaked a little. I've benefited from the countdown, and I've lost a championship from the countdown. 2007, the first year of the countdown, I would have been the champ with the regular season, you know, never, no reset. And, you know, then 2009, I wouldn't have been. We struggled all year and didn't get our act together till the last six races, won three of six, and won the championship from the number 10 spot. So I still would have the same amount of championships with or without a countdown. Just the years would have been different.
Interesting.
And I think I honestly think NASCAR does a pretty good job when they do their first reset. They go back and say, okay, Kyle Busch won four races. We're going to give him X amount of points for each four of those races after the reset. So the first part of the year actually means something. The way it is right now, the first part of the year doesn't really mean anything. You just need to get your act together and be present and make the countdown, and anything can happen. So I think there could be a little tweaking, and, you know, then the points and a half at Pomona, okay, that brings a whole new element into it. You know, so it caused me a lot of sleepless nights, but the fans loved it. I agree with that. That's why we're here. It's the only reason we're here. So if that drama is what they're looking for and what we need to be producing for them, then that's what we got to keep doing.
I agree with everything you said, and I agree with a tweak that, and I've been advocating on the show, especially our other Ignition show, for a long time, some sort of, you know, wins reflected, you know, benefit, just what you described, right? If you win 10 regular season races and your next closest competitor wins three, that ratio should be carried into the countdown somehow to show that you accomplished more in the regular season. And if that provides you a huge lead, like with Steve Torrance, you know, he won nine races and the next closest driver, I think, had won two. So be it, right? That's the deal. They have had a dominant season. And if you find a way to fall on your face and lose with that benefit, well, then you deserve to lose. But bottom line, though, hearing you talk about the pressure, let's examine that, because Dallas, Now you won, right? Like Dallas, wow. What happened there? Vegas, losing on a hole shot. This was a knockdown, drag-out brawl for our entertainment, but then it all comes down to that one race against Matt Hagan. So you mentioned the word nerves. Like, was that a factor? Like, the moment, the nerves, the championship, all that had gone into the season? Is that what happened in Dallas? Is that what happened a couple of times, that just, like, big moments stacked up?
No, I don't think I ever let the pressure get me to where I didn't perform because of it, or I choked, say, because of it. Dallas, you know, we just came from Charlotte and won a race. I had a lot of confidence, you know, going into Dallas, and I'd won Dallas the last 2 years. So there was zero pressure at that point in the season. I'm still leading the points. Racing Hagan in the semis, and we had the longest tree that's possible. You know, it's a 0.48 from the last guy staging And I know that doesn't sound like that's a long time, but when you're in there ready to go and you're focusing on that tree to flash, 0.48 of a second is an eternity. And even, you know, guys like Langdon, he'll tell you, his foot wanted to go three times before, you know, he actually did. So my foot just left, okay? I wasn't anticipating. I wasn't nervous. To be honest with you, Hagen was running better than we were. And I couldn't hold it. I left too soon. So then we go to Vegas, and you've got to put that behind you. Beckman cut a 47 light or 40-something, and he admitted that, you know, his foot left and, you know, actually too soon. He held the brake, and he got away with it. I was within 2/1000th of my average, you know. I think I was number 2 this year in funny car reaction time average, and I was within 2/1000th of my average. So it's kind of hard to hang your head over that, you know. It wasn't like I cut a 120 light and I was, you know, a day late. So now you're going into Pomona and you've just had the worst of two scenarios happen, you know, as a driver. And you've got to put that behind you. You can't let it affect you. I could not wait to get in the car for Q1 and go up there against Beckman and beat him off the starting line, okay? Whether my car made it down the track or not, I wanted, you know, to start the weekend off right and leave on him, you know, get my confidence back. And I did. But, son, you know, when you start really looking at it, does qualifying reaction time really matter? No, not at all. So now it's a whole new ball game on Sunday.
Very interesting.
And you've got to put all that behind you. You cannot focus on the negative. You've got to go up there to try to win, not go up there to try and not lose. Okay? There's a different mindset with that. Go up there to win. And that's just what you got to do. And against that run with Hagen, you know, my heart was beating so hard, and you're in the car, the seat belts are strapped down super tight, and now, I mean, it's just, you feel your heart beating even more, and I'm just telling myself, relax, calm down, one step at a time. You know, you try to lie to yourself. This is just another run. Well, you can't lie to yourself when it's that big of a moment, and the stakes that are on, you know, on the line here, you can't lie to yourself, because this, if it didn't mean something to you, you wouldn't be nervous, and it wouldn't bother you one bit. But this is what we race for all year long, and not many people can say they have 3 championships in funny car. So there's a big high stakes here, and maybe I got lucky. Who knows? But we did get the job done.
You got the job done. And, you know, sorry to take you down a little bit of a dark road of the failures that came before the victory. But
no, it's the truth. You've got to look at all of it.
Right. Well, exactly. And so now you join Snake and Beetle and Force and Bernstein, right? Like 3 funny car championships. And, you know, with Jimmy and Chris, 2 guys that I know you get along just, you know, very well with, and you know, what a team. So good for Jimmy as well. And amazing stuff. The championship run, though, let's talk a little bit about that, in that you beat Hagen, but you're not the champ, right? You got to come up the next round and not cross the center line. And I think that we're all advocating openly to somehow get rid of that, because that kind of robbed everybody, in my opinion, of the big championship moment. Like, you beat Hagen, you should have been the champ at that moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got to talk to people about that. I know that they're on it, and I'm sure they're talking about it. It was so obvious. Same thing happened with Torrance, right? You were disincentivized to run the car. And when the car shut off on you after the super burnout, people immediately thought, oh, that's what he's doing, which put the most minor of, you know, negative taints on the run for a minute. Everybody has since forgotten that, I'm sure. But we got to figure that one out somehow.
Without a doubt. So if you go back in time, NHRA has eliminated the oil down penalties as far as points penalties in the countdown. They don't want an oil down to cause somebody to win or lose a championship. Okay, and honestly, when I made the run in the semis, I was not aware of, you know, that I didn't win the championship. All I'm looking at is mathematically, it's over. And, you know, I wasn't thinking ahead that, oh, yeah, in the final, I could cross the center line and Beckman could win the race, and now he's the champ. So I wasn't thinking that way. And I honestly think that the fans got shorted because my best interview would have been when I just beat Hagen for the biggest run of my life to win a championship. And I get out of the car fully expecting to do this interview and be crowned the 2019 champ. And then it's like, no, can't do it. It's not time yet. There's still possibility of this and possibility of that. And that was kind of a buzzkill.
Yes.
So I think that has to be tweaked a little bit. And in the final, what I decided to do was, my team is very, very quick on the starting line. In fact, you pay attention. There's, other than John, we start at the same time. Nobody starts after me. We don't start before anybody else. We start second, and I'm usually in pre-stage before anybody else. So we're very, very quick. And I told Jimmy, start first, and he kind of looked at me funny, but he did it. And I did a big old long burnout, and, you know, I wanted to do it for the fans because they don't get to see that, and I know it's a big hit. It's a big hit for a driver. You know, I had fun doing it. So, but I'm racing Beckman, and I thought to myself, I've got to get on the brakes here real hard. I got to get this thing back to the starting line. Last thing I want to do is screw him up, you know, because of the show I just put on. So I was going over 100 miles an hour, got on the brakes super hard, burned a lot of extra fuel because of the long burnout. And once I got it in reverse, it started leaning out. And I thought, sometimes it'll lean out and chug for a bit, but this time it didn't. It leaned out and it died. And here I am sitting on the racetrack. I felt so stupid. And I knew that, you know, there's nothing I can do with the car. But I knew I had to get out of there. Didn't know if NHRA would come push it out of the way. But to my surprise, the fans in the stands were going absolutely ballistic because of the burnout. I got a bigger cheer for that burnout than Beckman got for winning the race. It was insane. So kind of anticlimactic, you know, I wanted to win my seventh race of the year, the Auto Club Finals, my sponsor, didn't get to do it. And my little plan of putting on a show for the fans kind of backfired on me.
Interesting. Well, you know, yes and no, right? We'll always remember this. That's the thing, is there will be something that is always remembered. If there's a highlight show years from now, they'll highlight this. Like, remember when that weird thing happened. You said something, though, that I should have considered, but it just never really made sense in my mind, that you're doing over 100 miles an hour while you're doing a burnout. Like, that's something that we don't really talk about. Not normally, the short burnouts, but once you get out there, yeah, it makes sense. You're in a 330-mile-per-hour nitro car. You're doing a burnout. You're going to be going pretty fast as well, over 100 miles an hour doing that burnout.
Yeah, once you lift off the throttle and the tires quit spinning, they hook up and shoot you, okay? So you actually gain some speed once you lift from the burnout, because when the tires quit spinning and hook, it shoots you. So, you know, that's more acceleration. It's more you got to get on the brakes. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. And here's another thing. I honestly thought to myself, if I could pull this off and do this big, long burnout, go up there and beat Beckman in the final, maybe I could prove to our crew chiefs that, hey, these cars aren't as finicky as we think, and, you know, maybe we could start doing longer burnouts and entertain the fans more and be more fun for the drivers. And I just thought, boy, if this could be so perfect if we could pull this off and go up there and beat him and win the race, and maybe they'd let me do longer burnouts. But I didn't get a chance.
Well, we got to keep working on that because of what you said. The showmanship, everybody went crazy. They love it. I remember standing on the fence watching John do these long burnouts at the Gator Nationals back in the day. It's burned on the brain. If we could bring that back occasionally and not have it be a problem, it would be the best. All right, I know you've got a couple more interviews. I want to wrap it up, but I just got to ask about one more thing, which is Austin Coyle being at the awards banquet and getting the Lifetime Achievement Award. I was fortunate enough to sit next to Austin and just watch the procession of legends of everybody in the sport come by, visit with him. It was like sitting next to Don Corleone, the Godfather, and watching everybody just come by and say hello. How amazing was that, and how cool was it to, you know, to get Austin out there? What a nice guy. First time I got to interact with him like on a social level, and great job by NHRA to honor him. It was really special. It has to be great for you both to win awards. You know, you get the championship and he gets the Lifetime Achievement Award in the same year.
Yeah, without a doubt. Definitely well-deserved. I think he's probably, you know, one of the greatest ever. And I'm very, very fortunate that I can say that, you know, I got to work underneath him for a lot of years. And he taught me so much, he and Bernie Federle both. And then I can also say that the first run I ever made in a nitro car, Austin Coyle was the crew chief, and he staged me just like he did John for all those years. And I remember, you know, as nervous as I was on that very first run I made in Vegas that day, thinking of all I had to do, but looking out the windshield and having Coyle give you the, you know, the okay sign that it's all good to go, I thought, man, it doesn't get any better than this. Okay, Austin Coyle, you know, it's like how many people can say that they had that for their first run, a legend. And then, you know, at the end of that day, him telling me he was impressed with what he saw for me driving my first day. You know, back then we didn't use throttle stops, okay? We did burnouts with the feel of the, you know, your foot and feathering it and playing with it. And only, you know, I had the best teacher in the world in him, because I can relate to things mechanical. You know, I have John to help me and teach me when I was beginning, but John's not real good at explaining things. Austin Coyle can explain it in a way that I understand it mechanically, and it just, that's the only reason I got through all this and got to where I'm at today is guys like Austin and Bernie, and very fortunate.
Three-time Mellow Yellow Funny Car World Champion, certainly part of NHRA history. You'll be booked as a legend yourself years from now in the future of the sport. Robert, it was an honor to watch. You really dominated the season, start to finish, a really strong year. Congratulations. Thank you for coming on with all of your victories on our WFO Radio podcast and giving us, you know, a debrief and educational session each time. It means a lot to me, and I know I got a lot of fans that support it as well. You offered all the Auto Club fans to get a photo with you after it was all over. I thought that was really cool, reaching out to the fans. You did a great job. You are the champ. I can't wait to speak with you before the start of the 2020 season, but enjoy some well-earned time off, however you choose to use it, and thank you for coming on WFO Radio Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Joe. I want to wish everybody a happy holidays, and I'll be back at you know, out with the fans in St. Louis in January. And I'm all ready for Pomona. I can't wait. But, you know, the fans are the reason we're here. And I appreciate, you know, getting to talk to you every week that we win a race. That's a given. And hopefully we can do it a bunch more next year.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. Robert, thank you very much. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. In case we do not speak, have a great time. Be safe. You and the fam. And we'll talk on the other side. 2020.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Robert. Happy holidays. Robert Height, your 2019 Funny Car World Champ in the Mellow Yellow Series, a three-time champ. What a year it was. And just hearing him recount the race against Matt Hagen. First of all, Matt Hagen is a beast, a two-time champ, a great driver, an excellent competitor, Don Schumacher Racing, Dickie Venables, that's on one side of the track. And you got Robert Height, Jimmy Prock, Chris Cunningham on the other side of the track. Two-time champs fighting to become a three-time champ on one single run. To me, that is awesome. That is what it is all about. And to hear that Robert, you know, felt it, the pressure, the intensity of the moment came out on top. Amazing. Now, I do agree, and I do want to throw in a couple of thoughts and opinions here. Of course, if you're a fan of John Force Racing, we encourage you to click subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We've got a free mobile application. You're never going to want to miss a show. You're going to love Allison Dahl, the Stock Eliminator World Champ. We have already connected with Steve Torrance. It is in the archive. Steve Torrance, a very contrite and emotional interview. I posted that thing on Facebook, and there were 15 people. I don't even want to hear it. I don't want to hear from him. That is a really bad attitude. I don't want to hear from it. No, you really should hear what he had to say, the way he said it. What's going on? To close off and put your head in the sand is not ever a good thing. You should hear from the person. I refuse to hear it. Is not a good attitude. Sorry to editorialize and rant, but I just really dislike that attitude. Not easy, you know, irredeemable, right? Not able to come back from that. No, man. There's a lot worse things than that that people come back from. Thank you very much. But that's in the archive. It's a very, very interesting interview. Gianna Salinas, all that. So we encourage you to subscribe, download the free mobile application, and get to listening WFO Radio. Now, the fans got missed out on a little bit. They absolutely did. That is the story of the offseason, I think, is that, and I fully expect, a lot of people give NHRA a hard time, I fully expect some remedy to that situation. When Robert Height beat Matt Hagan, in that moment, he should have become the champion. It should not go down to the next round, and if he doesn't do something, then he will become the champ, and we're unsure at this moment. That is a bit of a problem. It happened to Steve Torrance as well. When Steve Torrance beat Brittany Force, he pretty much became the champ, unless he oiled the across the center line the next round, and etc. We don't want championships being decided like that. It's not good for excitement. But other than that, great year, great season to see John have such great success, win 150, to win the U.S. Nationals for a sixth time or fifth time. Amazing. What a year. And all of those interviews, John Force, 150, the Indy interview, are all in the archive waiting for you. And I love the fact that we have documented so many great moments in the sport of drag racing. All right, everybody. Big thanks once again, Total Seal Piston Rings, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, MagicDryUS.com, Marvin Rodak's Coffee and Grills.com, and Samtech.edu. Thank you guys for supporting. Thank you to the Patreons as well who support the show directly at patreon.com/WFO radio. They're getting their own unique content, which is cool. A little bit more uptick in that. The next interview you hear will be Lucas Oil Stock Eliminator World Champ Allison Dahl in the archive. Thank you so much, WFO.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, WFO Radio listeners, if you're in the northern part of the country, I know you're freezing right now. You know what would be great? A hot cup of Rodak's coffee. Maybe a little hot sauce, a little spice rub for that food you're cooking in the oven. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. They've got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom blends like Bang the Blower and WFO Radio. Their coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown throughout the world, and it's all roasted fresh per order. They've got limited edition, seasonal, and rare micro lots. They've got exotics. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or just pick up the phone. 817-924-6821. Keep your ear out for those WFO holiday packs. Depends on the holiday what the deal is, but Marvin is wheeling and he is dealing. 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Start your education at full speed with the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology.
Accelerate your career as a high-performance engine builder with classroom instruction and practical hands-on experience in the lab, on the dyno, and at the track. In addition to the block, head, and CNC programs, SAM now offers motorsport EFI tuning and an Associate's of Applied Science degree. And SAM is a military-friendly school, approved to train veterans and other eligible persons under the GI Bill. Start your education at full speed. Go to samtech.edu today.
Hey, WFO Universe, want something for free? Send a self-addressed stamped envelope with plenty of postage, and we'll load it up with free WFO stickers. That's right, I said free. Send your envelope, care of Castello Media, /WFO stickers to P.O. Box 848-353, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084. Do it now.
This is WFO Radio.